You're listening to DVD Talk Radio.
As just another internet yahoo, I'm obligated by geek law, I believe, to comment on Revenge of the Sith. And I think I've found my end, and bear with me here, it's kiddo killing. Yes, the younglings. George went and did it on us, didn't he? Went and killed those sweet, precious little younglings. The ones that got to play with Yoda, you know, and had the little lightsabers. And, oh, they got to have the dream of all little geeks everywhere, didn't they? Got to be Jedi. Well, they were Jedi until Anakin came in and issued Order 66 or 666 or whatever number it was, and they are no longer with us. Yeah, Anakin powers up that lightsaber and cuts those little Jedi down to size. Oh, just tugs at our heartstrings, doesn't it? Well, it's an effective story device, isn't it? The death of children. We don't like to see it. We don't like to even think about it. It's the horror of all horrors, except maybe for dog killing. You know, that's the ultimate taboo in film. You can't kill, you know, a little pooch. But for the audience, there's no better shortcut than killing some kiddos to let you know how mean and nasty some guy is, right? So Anakin, he's dark, right? It's the dark side of the Force, and it doesn't get any darker than kiddo killing. But it's not anything new. I mean, we've seen kiddo killing in the movies before, and there's a couple of films that I want to point out that I think the kiddo killing is way more effective. Because let's face it, George cheats a little bit, right? He cuts away from the actual kiddo killing, but not John Carpenter, no. In Assault on Precinct 13, he kills his kiddo right on screen. It couldn't be the more idyllic setting either. Okay, it's in South Central LA. Okay, it's in the 70s. But it's this precious pigtailed little girl, blonde hair, cherub face, scampering up to an ice cream truck to get her treat, her frosty treat. But what does she actually get? A bullet to the chest. Yes, from a silenced pistol. Right there on screen. She can't believe it. Her eyes go wide. She's, you know, been shot, slumps out of frame, and the audience is sitting there with their mouth agog. Even today, when you're sitting watching it on DVD, I defy you to watch it and not be totally horrified that this sweet girl is dead. But what do you know from this scene? Come on, class. You know how evil that gang member is and how all of his cronies are going to go get those other dudes, and they're in trouble. This is one hardcore movie. You got to look out. This is serious business. John Carpenter's not screwing around here, kids. This is going to be one hardcore shoot-em-out movie. Yeah, it's based on Rio Bravo, but no, we are going to update this sucker, and there is going to be a bloodbath. In fact, it's such serious business that they didn't even try to approximate it in the remake. No, sir. No kiddo killing there. And John Carpenter himself says now that he has kids, he probably wouldn't have done it the same way again. Which leads me to a tangential question. Whatever happened to Kim Richards, the little girl? Well, of course, she already had a career by then. She did Escape from Witch Mountain, and then later on she'd do Return to Witch Mountain. And here recently she did, like everybody else, a spin on the Blair Witch thing with Blair Witch Mountain or Mountain Witch something or other. Something Blair Witch, anyway. Oh, and she's also in a Sinish Lakarama's Most Wanted picture, and that's Meatballs 2, where she kind of has a reference back to her extraterrestrial roots of those Witch Mountain movies. Nowadays she's got 4 kids of her own in school, so she's thinking about, hang on to something, getting back into the acting game. If you'd like to learn more about Kim and see all of her child star antics, well, visit her online at kimrichards.net. But let's not creep her out too much by sending her emails asking about getting shot in Assault on Precinct 13. I think those days are behind her. Now, John Carpenter is a Western fan. We already know Assault on Precinct 13 owes something to Rio Bravo, but where could the kiddo killing have come in, huh? That's right. Once Upon a Time in the West, the great Sergio Leone film that has one of the all-time fall-out-of-your-seat moments when Henry Fonda kills a kid.
In my opening scene in the film, you see five or six long-robed, brimmed hat characters that you don't recognize, but just ominous-looking, converging from the sagebrush with rifles and handguns. And this terrible moment that you just watched a farm family massacred. And they start to walk towards you, converging towards you, and then the camera switches back to the little boy who's standing there just petrified, watching these people come to him. And then into the foreground of the little boy comes a figure. The camera very slowly is coming around. And Sergio Leone had cast me because he could imagine at this moment the audience saying, Jesus Christ, it's Henry Fonda!
And that's what I think is missing from George Lucas's kiddo-killing moment. Unlike the Once Upon a Time in the West and Assault on Precinct 13 that just knock us over with the horrid act of kiddo-killing, there's just this sort of disconnected feeling to Revenge of the Sith. We know that we're supposed to feel bad, but there's sort of an absence of feeling to the scene, and subsequent moments later, the horror is just really not there. We're just supposed to know that that is a horrible moment when those younglings die. But I don't think Lucas lands that ball-peen hammer between her eyes like Leone and Carpenter so savagely do. That's probably enough kiddo killing discussion for now, and probably ever, lest we wind up on some sort of watch list. Seduction Cinema. I've got a couple of DVDs here, and I'm surprisingly going to recommend one over the other. Now, I'm recommending the director's edition of The Girl Who Shagged Me over the unrated super sexy edition. Now, I must admit, Misty Monday looks just fantastic on the cover of the super sexy edition. I don't think she's ever looked better. I do suspect that my buddy over at EI has done some enhancement of Miss Monday here on the cover, but bless him for that. He's trying to sell some DVDs. But the reason I'm picking the director's edition over the super sexy edition is because they cut out all the funny bits to put in more sex scenes, which I think there's plenty of gratuitous nudity and lesbian cavorting on the director's edition. So I am going to recommend that over the super sexy edition. Also, the super sexy edition does not have the commentary by the writer and the director of the film, and I think they deserve their due. There's also a fun little outtake called When Camels Go Apeshit, and it's a sort of a cautionary tale to young filmmakers about the use of camels in their films. What you do miss from the super sexy edition is a Misty in London mini-documentary. This follows the great canon that Misty is building of her travel logs, which you get to watch her wander around and buy records and talk about Bowie and all that kind of stuff. You know, I guess if you're a Misty Monday completist, you've got to have both. But I tell you, after seeing this, I really would ask Misty never to do another English accent. And I would ask Mike Rasso, please, we cannot have enough Anushka in B Cinema. Please, Mike, let's see some more of Anushka. Cineschlockers, of course, will remember her from Lord of the G-Strings. She was one of the kind of woodland nymphs that interrupted the great battle there because of her goings-on. And I think after this film, she may well be Cineschlockers' favorite cave babe since Raquel Welch. I know that's going out on a limb, but you haven't seen Anushka in action yet. Well, that does it. My second podcast. Thanks for listening. I think we'll be calling them Schlockcasts from now on. And I'd especially like to thank Alan, Drew, Chris, Michael, and Lon, the five lucky Cineschlockers who are going to receive a DVD from my gunny sack of goodies just for writing and telling me what they thought of the podcast. How easy is that? Until next time, this is Cineschlockerama columnist Noel Gross. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to DVD Talk Radio. Find DVD Talk Radio online at DVDTalkRadio.com.